Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's bring in a super friend to the show, guy that helps us out each and every week. We like to talk about all sorts of things, but right now his Tampa Bay Rays, a team that he is the color analyst for, had a great night last night in their first game of the playoffs, and we go to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. He is Brian Anderson. Hey, BA, how are you?
Fellas, I'm doing great. It's Friday. Rays won last night. Browns won last week. So far, so good.
So hang on. We want to play the play of the game in Espanol for you. Hang on. Here we go.
Good.
All right. This is courtesy of Fox Deportes.
Y lo prende. Are you feeling grande, baby? Se fue. Adios. Clase de bombazo. Randy a los arena.
That was awesome. We loved it. We played it all morning here.
You know what? The only thing that was missing was the goal. You know, on for like 30 seconds. He scored. Now, hey, listen. How cool was that? You know, you see steals of home, you know, where Rivers on first and third, the guy breaks for second, they throw, and, you know, if the cutoff doesn't get back in time, and, okay, there's a stolen base of home. But just a straight steal of home, not surprising that it was Randy Arozarena, because my man is a showman. You saw that last year in the postseason. There's something about the bright lights, the big city, the big stage that brings out the very best in him. But I'll tell you, he did a great job. That right there is called film study. That is understanding that Josh Taylor has a very interesting delivery out of the stretch where it takes him a minute to finally come set. And so he noticed that. The team probably noticed that. And he said, you know what? I'm going to test it. I'm going to test it. Also realized that Taylor was not really paying him any attention, because who really steals home? You know, so it's you understand that this guy's probably not paying a whole lot of attention, and his delivery is quirky enough that it gave him time, and he timed it up perfectly and pulled that swipe off. That was fun to watch. What an awesome moment.
B.A., can you practice that if you know the timing of it? Like, can you jump out on third base and say to yourself, okay, if I get in this situation, I'm going to do it? Like, I can't see you being able to practice that without the other team finding out that you've been working on that.
Yeah, no, you can't practice it. It's just something that you know. A lot of times it becomes a math problem. You know, that's why the really good base stealers, especially in this day and age of analytics and metrics, it becomes a math problem. What is the pitcher's delivery time to home plate? Well, it's 1.6, okay? What's the catcher's pop time glove to bag, you know, glove to glove, to his throw to second base? Well, it's 2.1. Well, that's 3.7. So if you get a base stealer over there that has a pretty good lead and he can get to second off of a jump in 3.6, then you send him, or 3.7. Because now it becomes the pitcher's time to the plate, the catcher's time to second. You know who can make it and who can't. And if they get a bad jump, then they're going to be out. If they get a good jump, they're going to be safe. It's simple math. And so I think in that situation, it was just a matter of seeing how long it took Taylor to finally come set. And you saw Arozarena taking some liberties and getting down the line far and realizing, okay, it takes him a long time to get set, and he's not paying me any attention, and no one's warning him. I'm going on the next pitch. And that's what he did.
All right, first, you and Dwayne need to steal the Are You Feeling Randy, baby. That needs to happen.
It's not going to be Randy. It's not going to be Dwayne. I tried to set him up you know, that we, during the month of September, and actually during the regular season, but especially during the month of September with everything going on, we would have these big stories where they would send us off to Baltimore because they were playing the Red Sox. And they would throw random highlights at me of a, you know, team, one of the teams scoring early. And I'd have to just kind of break it down on my own. And I told him at one point, Marco Gonzalez was pitching for Seattle. And that was part of, you know, our big story rotation. And I said, hey, if something bad happens with Marco Gonzalez, when they send us out there, I'm going to drop whatever. And I'm going to drop Marco. And you got to fill in Polo. I'll give you the pregnant pause to get the Polo in. And then I'll continue the highlight. And my man left me hanging.
Oh,
I dropped
no.
Marco and crickets. And I'm like, you gotta be kidding me.
Oh.
Whatever. So he's not going to be the one doing that line. I'll have to do it.
Hey, just so you know, I would never leave you hanging like that. Ever.
I know you wouldn't. I know you got you just got to know who you can go to in those types of situations. And
that broadcast,
and Dwayne wanted no part of it.
Wow.
That broadcast would last four innings before both of you would get thrown off the air.
Who us?
You and BA. Yes.
No way.
Four innings.
We'd be good.
You know what? It would either be four or five innings and off the air, or you could just start raking and pulling in the Emmys one after the other.
What we really need to do is record our Browns postgame show that we do every week now.
All right,
BA, did you watch the game? Yep. Boom.
You know what? I saw most of it. It was an interesting game because I was doing prep work. You know, remember all the games last Sunday started at 3.
Yeah.
So it was an odd. I didn't get to see as much of it as I wanted to, but I did go back on the NFL Sunday Ticket app, and you can watch the shorts. Like basically, it's just every play. There's no replay. It's just one play after the other for 30 minutes. So I sat down and I watched that. And, you know, thank goodness the Browns have a really, really good defense because Baker was, the number of throws. And you know what? It reminded me of the final preseason game of the Freddie Kitchens era, where they had him play the entire first half and he threw 20-some passes and could never really get into rhythm. And he had that little thing going where a lot of his passes were high. When Baker gets the highsies, boy, that's where it gets scary, when he's throwing the ball down the middle of the field or wherever. And that's what it looked like. I mean, a lot of missed targets, 15 to 33. And the other thing that jumped out at me when I was able to watch the game, you know, beginning to end, actually just a couple of days ago, were the number of screen passes that were successful. And you start to put it together with what came out yesterday about the torn labrum in the left shoulder. Stefanski could probably see that the accuracy on any ball down the field wasn't there, so they started calling these screens and dumps. Well, you don't think the Chargers, if I'm picking up on this stuff, the Chargers are too, so you know they're going to try to limit and take that away, which means he's going to have to make some passes down the field. And is he going to be able to? That, I think, is going to be the question this weekend, because he's going to have to. Herbert's going to put points up. I mean, I know the Browns' defense is locked down and really good, but so is that quarterback out in San Diego. Or, excuse me, L.A.
What are you seeing out of the Browns' defense that's impressing you?
What do they call it? Hats to the ball. You know what I mean? Bodies to the
ball. Hat
on hat. Whatever the little phrase is, you know, I'm not up to speed on that right now. I just love the energy that they're playing with. You know, they're starting to see a little bit of a pass rush, but when that ball gets out into the hands of a wide receiver, a tight end, a back, whatever it may be, you are seeing bodies fly, and there's not a whole lot of space for these guys to operate before they're swarmed up. You know, they're not getting the yak, you know, 8, 10, 12 yards. They're catching the ball, turning around, and you've got a corner draped on you and a safety coming up to plant you. I just love the way that they're rallying to the ball, and you're starting to see the speed. You're starting to see that speed on defense, whether it's from 28 or some of the new safeties, you know, Johnson and Delpit getting, you know, a chance to play. You're seeing some guys fly around. I think that's been the most encouraging thing. Not, you know, they're not very talented, obviously, but the energy that they're playing with is awesome.
BA, what do you think about Baker Mayfield in this, you know, torn labrum that he's got? And, you know, it's an issue. It's not all the way, but it's on his non-throwing arm. And yesterday it was a huge deal. Today I'm starting to wonder, you know, how big of a deal it's going to be.
Well, I mean, it's going to be something that he's going to have to deal with. That's not going to heal itself. He'll have to have off-season surgery. It's not like it's a muscle that can heal over time, and that probably wouldn't even do real well because you're going to continue to play, and you're a quarterback, and you're going to continue to get hit, and now that everybody on the planet knows that it's a torn labrum in his left shoulder, that becomes a target. I mean, that's why, you know, in hockey, they go upper body injury, lower body injury, because if you know where that specific injury is, you're going to target it. And that's exactly what these defenders are going to do. And if they could fall on him a little heavy, yeah, they're going to do that. So it's going to be an issue. And it's just going to be a matter of how much pain can this kid tolerate. You get the feeling that it's an awful lot. But the other question then becomes, is it affecting his mechanics? I'm not an expert enough on football quarterback mechanics and has certainly have not broken down, you know, any kind of game film to be able to tell that. The people that need to know, and is that shoulder affecting him delivering the ball? I know it's not his throwing shoulder, but I think about pitching with, you know, a dislocated right shoulder, and there would be an effect there. It would affect my command of my pitches. And so I don't know if that translates to throwing a football or not, but it's something certainly to keep your eye on because, you know, he was kind of all over the place last week.
What do you make out of Odell Beckham slowly but surely kind of finding his way into the offense 2 weeks ago against the Bears, and then last week it was just, I mean, he couldn't find him to save his life. What do you make out of that?
You know, I don't know. A lot of football people that are smarter than me could probably tell you that. I do know this, and unequivocally, the stats bear it out. When he's on the field, Baker's not at his best. That's just the bottom line. I mean, that's the bottom line. I don't think it's anybody's fault, except that when Odell has been out there, Baker hasn't been the same. And when he has been on the sideline, Baker's been much better. That's just the fact. I don't know why, but that's the fact. Look at the numbers. It's weird. It's crazy. But at this point, the sample size is getting large enough that I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I don't think the answer is anything. I think you continue to try to incorporate him into the offense. But I do find it strange, you know, that when he's been out there, Baker's not been his best. And when he hasn't been out there, Baker's been very efficient. Interesting.
If you're Kevin Stefanski, how are you watching Baker Mayfield? Like, I think you got to keep a keen eye on him too, especially if it starts to affect the running game. If you know he can't pass and now you're totally utilizing, which is one of the best running games in the NFL, but if it becomes so predictable, the Chargers are just going to eat that up.
Well, they are, and that's how I would start the game if I were the Chargers. I would dare them to run. I would dare Baker to beat me 15, 20 yards down the field. Now, if he does it a couple times early in the game, then I'm ready to make an adjustment. But I'm going to make him prove to me that he can be accurate down the field. And I'm going to take away the run, and I'm going to take away all those little screens. I mean, that's the way if San Diego – or excuse me, I keep saying San Diego. I can't get that out of my head. I'm sorry. If Los Angeles doesn't realize that, you know, good for the Browns. Boy, that's how I would play it. And so that's what you're going to – he's going to have to prove to the Chargers, and I think he's probably going to have to prove to Stefanski that he can be efficient down the field and hit some of those, you know, passes that he was missing last week, you know, especially that one at the end of the game where, you know, the question was, do they run it here, force Minnesota to use their last timeout, and then probably have to punt, but Minnesota's got to go a long way and they have no timeouts? Or do you go for the jugular and the win here by putting the ball in the air? And he's got a wide-open Odell who could have crawled into the end zone, and it was 5 yards behind him. So those are the throws. If I'm San Diego, I'm saying until he makes those, Chubb and Kareem Hunt are going to be afterthoughts.
All right, your Cornhuskers are 2-2. They actually look watchable. It looks like Scott Frost knows what he's doing. Are you back on the bandwagon, or is it still apathy?
No, it was interesting to watch last week. I haven't seen Nebraska play a game like that in, I mean, I can't tell you how many years. And you know, when they would play the, you know, an FCS program that they would beat 42-7, it still didn't look as good as they looked against Northwestern. And I know Northwestern is down this year, but boy, they manhandled them and they looked really good doing it. So I'm a little bit more intrigued, and I think that I'm not saying that, you know, it's, I never got off the bandwagon, but it does get to the point where you're like, these losses don't bother me like they used to because I know what I'm going to get. I'm a realist. I hope for the best, but I also know what I see. And so, you know, in having watched that, you know what to come to expect. I'll be very interested this weekend. Primetime game at home against the Michigan Wolverine team that's been very buttoned up, doesn't turn the ball over. They do the little things right, and they got a really good defensive line. That will tell you an awful lot because I'm still not convinced that Nebraska is going to be able to block them. And Adrian Martinez has to ad-lib way too much. Very rarely do you see him take a drop or even out of the shotgun and throw a pass on time. I mean, 60-70% of his completed passes are after a scramble or a play breaks down. That's what happens. He's a good enough athlete to make that happen. I don't think, you know, Michigan's going to let him do that. So I'll be real interested to see this weekend, but this will tell an awful lot about how much progress that this Nebraska team has made. And I think that they've made some because they lost to Michigan State in East Lansing, and they absolutely dominated that game, especially the second half. How you lose that game, I'll never get it. They held Michigan. They were down by 3 at the half, held Michigan State to 0 first downs and 5 total yards in the second half and lost still. How do you do that? I'm not really sure, but they definitely have improved in some areas, but this weekend will be a big tell.
All right, quick, how many games is it going to take Tampa to knock Boston home, send them home for the winter? Go fishing.
Probably by Sunday afternoon. By the time the Browns are probably closing in on halftime, Boston will be emptying out their lockers.
Fantastic.
That's the best news I've heard today.
Well, I'm going to tell you what, they took them apart last night.
Oh, it's fun.
That was workmanlike and just took them apart, you know, starters, bullpen, big hits, played good defense, aggressive base running, just dominated them in every facet of the game. So that gives them a lot of confidence going into tonight, and they're going to need it because Chris Sale is going to be pitching with this Boston Red Sox team already with their back to the wall. It can't go down 2-0.
Oh, yes, they can. And I'll enjoy
it. Well, yeah, no. They can.
I
was actually, for a split second, I pretended I was the Boston Red Sox. Now, listen, I feel dirty now, and I will jump in the shower as soon as we're done with this interview. But I was trying to put myself in their uniform for just a second. I probably shouldn't have done that.
All right, BA, thank you. Hope you had a good workout today as well. We didn't get to talk about that like we always do. But have a great weekend, my friend.
I had a great workout, boys, and I'm going to have an awesome weekend. You will, too. Take care.
Talk to you later.
Take it easy.
Brian Anderson, super friend of the show.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.